in the home country, they pronounce it McCollum. And in Toronto, they pronounce it McCallum. I don't know which one I like better. But you can call me whatever you like. Would you open to Hebrews 12, chapter 1 with me, please? I'm going to read two short verses. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul's salutation. Paul, a bond servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. And the reason why I opened with these two verses is because the first verse talked about setting aside the sin that so easily entangles, and this verse in Romans talks about being set apart for the gospel of God. And that introduces what I wanted to share with you tonight. I wanted to share something that has been significant to me lately, and over the last month or month and a half, I have noticed that there have been some distractions in my life, and different kinds of distractions. And so as we started to study every morning, we have a devotion at Ron, I don't know how many people know Ron Locklear, my pastor in North Carolina. We have a devotion at his house, and we've been going through Mark, and there have been some things that have jumped out to me that have to do with distractions, and they've been an encouragement to me, and I hope that they might be an encouragement to you as well, and a reminder. So the theme is distractions. And if you would turn now to Mark chapter 4, I'd like to read the parable of the sowers, of the sower. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. Verse 4. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. As he was saying this, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. As soon as he was alone, his followers along with the 12 began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand. otherwise they might return and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. I was thinking as I was driving up here today, I split the trip in two. I started off in North Carolina yesterday and drove till about 11:30 last night, stopped in Morgantown and slept there, and then drove for about 6 hours today. And I passed a sign that said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And that's all it said. And I thought about all of you. And I thought, we are called Christians. And we are part of the same vine. Some of us have gone through difficult phases where we feel distant from the Lord, or not even perhaps part of, we feel like we're not part of that vine. Other times we have spoken with people who say they're part of the vine, and yet their actions and their words indicate something else. And so as I've been reading about the sower, I've had to look at my life and ask myself, well, which category am I in? And do I have any tendencies that are seen in different categories here? And it's been sobering as I have looked at my own life and seen these distractions in my life and brought them before the Lord to ask for His help to change this. So now I want to read about two familiar characters and look at their actions and reactions and see if we can place them into these categories here in the parable of the sower. And this is something that I've been reading, and so I just want to share these thoughts with you. So please turn to Luke chapter 10. And I've looked into a little bit more deeply the characters of Mary and Martha. And I want to share these verses with you and what they've meant to me. So Luke 10, verse 38, we meet Martha and we meet Mary. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So we meet these two people, and immediately we see something positive, and immediately we see something negative. We have a picture of Mary completely undistracted, completely focused on the Lord Jesus, and so focused that she is sitting at his feet, listening, while all the busyness happens behind her. Martha, on the other hand, is trying to make all the preparations and is encumbered by these, and Jesus tells her that her sister's actions are the better choice. And, you know, when Uncle Dave came down to see us in March, I shared with him one day that, he said, "How was your day today?" And I said, "Well, you know," I said something to the effect that there I had felt a little bit distracted, you know, and he said, "Well, you need to spend time with him." And we see immediately a picture of Mary spending time with him and totally focused on him while the busyness happens around her. Now, I should have told you to keep your finger in Mark 4, but I'm going to go back now and look at a category where I see Martha moving toward and Mary moving toward. And in verse 19 of chapter 4, 18, "And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." And don't turn there, but I'm going to read in Luke the parable, the same verse, okay, the parallel. And it says, "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity." And Jesus said to Martha, the words are almost identical. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." And in Mark 4, worries of the world, desires for other things. And I was reminded of my busy schedule. And I do several different things down in Pembroke. I help out with the music in the church. I also teach singing lessons. I also help plant trees and take the garbage out and prepare to get ready to build the new church building. I help organize our Saturday night meetings for the young people. And we have choir practice once a week as well. And I try to be involved socially so that we have dinner together, and all of a sudden the schedule is really full. And the Lord is reminding me that I need to be balanced. Matthew Henry made a comment about Martha's hospitality and that her hospitality had imbalance. We're told to be hospitable. And yet, here is a woman who is so distracted by the physical things and the natural things, that the supernatural things are left. So that's all I'll say about that section with regards to Martha, and I won't say that there was no fruit ever in Martha's life, because I don't know that, but in these verses we see a clear comparison between Martha and Mary, and that that if we were to look at this parable of the sower, and if we think, okay, if the light is brought to us, and this parable is telling us that there are four ways to respond to it, so which way have I responded to it? Which way is Martha responding to it? Which way does Mary respond to it, to the word? Well, Mary sits at his feet, and like a student sits at the feet of his scholar, she is in complete submission, and obviously that there is she senses the urgency and the need to hear his spoken word. So I think that Mary fits better than into the last category. I'll read it from here. But the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance, and hold it fast. So Mary was holding it fast. Now, the next time that we see Mary and Martha is in John 11. So could you turn to John 11 with me? And this is the story of Lazarus. John 11, verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary her sisters, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. Down to verse 39. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. So, Martha comes to Jesus and says, if only you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. But then she says, and she shows faith, she says, but even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So we see that Martha has faith. We see that she believes. But then she shows a lack of faith when Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And she says, well, I know, on the last day. And Jesus has to remind her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. He says, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. So she is speaking with her mouth, yes, I believe. And yet she doesn't understand. And he has to remind her, I am the resurrection and the life. And then when Jesus says, move the stone away, immediately Martha's thoughts go to something physical. She says, by now, it's 4 days that he's been in there. By now, there would be a horrible stench. And Jesus has to remind her again. And says, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And isn't it interesting that, I found it interesting that Martha was the one who was the one who was resisting this. Mary wasn't. And I can't help but look at the picture of Mary at Jesus' feet, listening and learning the truth, while Martha was busy and missed out. And have you ever woken up in the morning and bolted into your day and had that empty thought of, what did I miss this morning? That has happened to me after I've had a time of 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours in the Word and felt the Lord softening my heart and teaching me and opening my eyes. And then the next day, if it doesn't happen, I think, what did I miss out on today? And so here is Mary who isn't missing out, and she doesn't question the Lord. Martha is missing out, and she questions and resists the fact that he's going to move the stone and raise her brother to life. And now just in the next chapter, John chapter 12, we see something that comes from Mary that is also spoken of in the parable. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume and pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So Martha is serving and Mary is sacrificing. Mary has brought this gift that I've heard. One of the texts says 300 denarii, I think. I've also read somewhere a year's wages. So she brings this incredibly expensive gift, all that she had, and presents it to the Lord. And she wasn't distracted at all as to all the other things that could be done with that, like Judas was in the next verse. But he's distracted and says, well, think of all that could have been done with this. And we know that that truly wasn't his heart, because he wanted it. He would want that for himself. But so Mary sacrifices. And we also see, and I'll read this to you because I have you flipping back and forth so much, in Matthew 26, the other account of this, same story, the words are, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and this is verse 7, and she poured it on his head, and he reclined as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in this whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. And in Luke 7, it says, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. And we know that she is bearing fruit here, because Jesus says in his own words, for she has done a good deed to me. So she's bearing fruit. But we don't see Martha bearing fruit like this. At least I didn't see it as plainly as this. And then she comes under a sort of persecution. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, why this waste? And another one of the accounts, you can see that she's being mocked or rebuked. And Jesus defends her and says, why do you bother the woman? So we even see perseverance in this tiny little snapshot, you know, that while she's going about it, there may have been 10 men in an uproar, but she continued to do this good deed to the Lord. And it's just a tiny little snapshot, but it's a beautiful one. And then finally, the fact that Jesus says, you know, there's a reason why she's doing this. Don't you see? For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. So Mary knew that he was going to die. And yet we know that the disciples were confused about the prediction of his death. But Mary knew. And then we go. It brought my mind back to that picture of Mary sitting at his feet and just drinking in and totally focused, tunnel vision on the truth. And so speaking of the truth, I'll read one quick verse. Speaking of the truth, in John 8, and it says this, in John 8 to verse 30, it's very short. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I think of Mary continuing in his word, truly his disciple, bearing fruit with perseverance, knowing the truth, something that the others didn't know. And the whole picture for me that has been this, that has been on my mind is her sitting at his feet. And it brings me back to Uncle Dave. Just his words, you know, we only get to see him once a year. And he said, well, you need to spend time with him. So there's that reminder. The other fruit, interesting, the other fruit that I saw, that I wanted to call fruit, was when she is weeping at home and then she hears that Jesus is calling her, she runs quickly to meet him. Well, guess what? All the Jews who are consoling follow her, and she goes to the master, and they can't help but run into the master there as well. And so in her obedience and running to the Lord, she doesn't even know it, but she's dragging a group of people with her. And then that last verse, which is so exciting, in John 11, it's interesting, it goes into the next section, John 11, verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. So they followed her, got to see what he did, and then believed in him because they were following Mary. That was something else that I thought was significant. So those are the thoughts that I had about these verses concerning these two characters in the New Testament, these two people. Sometimes I don't like saying character because it makes it sound like it's not real. And how it plugged into our study on the parable of the sower and made me think, which category do I fall into? Am I bearing fruit? Is there perseverance? Am I holding fast? Am I holding fast to the word? Or am I distracted? And those two verses at the beginning that I read from Hebrews 12, 1 and Romans 1, 1, that talk about setting aside everything that encumbers, setting aside the sin that so easily entangles, and Paul saying, I am set apart for Christ. So one has that negative connotation, and one has that positive connotation. Martha, what will you set aside? What will you set aside so that you can focus on the Lord? Mary, it's obvious that you've set yourself apart to sit at the Lord's feet. So I'm going to finish off by singing a song for you, and Uncle Dave asked me if I might share a song with you. And the song is based on another kind of distraction, and that is the distraction of worldly things, of the riches of this world. But we still hear the Jesus saying, what will you set aside for me? What will you set apart for me? What will you make holy mine? What will you set aside, and what will you set apart?